Oh my god, what's up, party people? Welcome to this week's Eras episode of Romancing Nancy Drew. I'm your host, Indy Nickerson, which stands for Nancy Drew Nickerson. You can find me at that handle on Blue Sky. And yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
Also Tumblr, but not as often. I do have a Q though. Where were we? This one is the very last of the original 56 Nancy Drew Mystery Stories, which was released in 1979. The last hardback. It's kind of interesting to me. I had never read it before I read it for this episode. I sincerely had not. I was like, huh, I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. Also, am I gonna make references to oral sex? You bet I am.
Yeah.
Because Ned's in it. Because of course he is. Oh my god. Anyway, it's kind of interesting because the end of the book, I was expecting them to be like, and Nancy didn't know what her next mystery would be, but she's like, nah, fam, it's the triple hoax. And I was like, oh shit, okay. I'd forgotten that there was such a seamless transition into the digests. I think I've got the triple hoax. I'll have to check. So I might do that to start the next time I do some of the non-filesy ones. But we're going to go back to files next time. Because we're going back with Something to Hide, which is not thematically appropriate. Because that is a hardcore Halloween book. And I mean that because the picture on the front of that book has some jack-o'-lanterns on it. Like, we're leaning in. But anyway, it's fine. It's fine. It's Halloween in March of 2024. This one, though. The 13th Pearl is very blue on the front. Very blue. Nancy's like looking back over her shoulder, so she's got a real weird angle on that neck, and she's looking at this person who's holding a big banner like they would hold if you're like walking into some sort of weird cult ceremony. Spoiler alert. And it's got a picture of a pearl on it that I was like, that's looking like some genitalia. It's fine. It's fine. Anyway. And also, they've got some Japanese stuff happening because this book has it all. It has mean Japanese people, also really cool, very perfect Japanese people, also some shifty Italians, also Nancy and her friends. And that's it. That's all we fucking care about. We must only have a maximum of two nationalities represented in a Nancy Drew book that isn't other than American, of course. This one, shit. Let's just jump right in. Nancy and her friends are hanging out, and apparently Carson has been contacted by a guy who owns a jewelry store. He is Mr. Moto, who, as soon as I read that, I was like, I'm going to be thinking of cell phone commercials the entire time we're doing this episode. And I am, and you should as well. So,
yeah.
If I had a clip, I'd play it, but I don't fucking care. It's fine. The internet's there for a reason. Presumably. If you're listening to this in the future, I'm really sorry. Don't pay any attention to search results. So, Mr. Moto contacted Mr. Carson Drew, John Hamm, for, like, vague reasons. Now, I don't really have him fantasy cast in my head. All the Japanese people are described, like, not great. There's one who's apparently extremely tall. I can't remember which one. One of the bad ones. I guess that's how you know. If you have a super tall Japanese guy, you need to be on the lookout for either basketball reasons or also shifty, weird criminal reasons. But anyway, he left his shoes behind at a crime scene. Like, who does that? Who fucking... Anyway, let's get back to the actual story. The main character in this one is somebody who was off-screen for almost the entire time, but she is being played by Paris Hilton. So imagine Paris Hilton, but maybe in a dark wig? Maybe? I mean, you know, if she feels like it, whatever she feels like. Paris Hilton, her name in the book is Miss Rossmeyer. We don't give a fuck. She's also supposed to be like, I think, mid-30s. I don't know. It's kind of weird. This, of course, is 1979, so we're pre-internet, where Nancy could just look up pictures of people. She's never met Miss Rossmeyer. Mrs. Rossmeyer left a necklace with pearls on it. It has 12 smaller pearls on either side of the necklace, and in the middle is a larger pearl, the 13th pearl. Ah. That apparently is exquisite in terms of pearls. And she left it with his shop, but for no spoken reason. Like, it's just like, and she left it with me. And I was like, for repair reasons or because she knew you were an enthusiast or to show or cleaning? What? No, fuck you for asking is the answer that this book gives you. But he had it in his safe and I was like, I've got some follow-up questions anyway. And apparently some thief came in, cut the large pearl off and left the rest of the necklace. He is terrified that when he tells Paris Hilton what happened, that she's going to be super pissed and like drag him all over social media. So he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like I reached out to Carson for help. And I was like, why not the cops? Other than, of course, the fact that they're cops. But, like, do you have a thing with the cops? Is there a beef? What is going on? Anyway. So Nancy and her friends go to the shop, and they're like, this is a very nice shop on the edge of the weird part of town. Because all River Heights is islands of white people surrounded by weird things happening, like haunted woods. Anyway. Imagine. Yes, I am. And it's glorious. Anyway, so they go to the shop and they interview him. He tells them that he has a security camera, like the earliest possible security camera. So it's like mounted in the ceiling and it's hidden so that people can't see it. But when he presses a button at the counter, it like remote triggers the camera to take a picture, which is a Polaroid apparently, because he was like, and it prints and develops immediately. And they were like, oh my gosh, yes. So like it's anyway. So he tells him about this and he's like, yeah, I don't, you know, just in case anybody comes in and I'm like, you look shifty or you're stealing shit or whatever. The other thing that's going on in this book, and he tells Nancy and her friends about it immediately, and I think that this is like the actual reason he contacted Carson Drew. BT Dubs, he carries heart pills in a little canister, as one did in the 70s, apparently. I guess some nitroglycerin or maybe some, you know, some of that fun poisony stuff. Anyway, so he carries that and like he's talking to Nancy and her friends, and I think like, oh, I remember what happens. He gets a shock and like they're like, are you okay? And Nancy finds some heart pills on him, like he faints, and she's like, I guess we should give him some of these. And her friends are like, yeah. So they like put one under his tongue, and I was like, first off, y'all not medical trained, what the fuck? Ask the slowly dying person what's going on. Anyway, the thing that he tells Nancy, the reason that I think he contacted Carson, I don't actually know. There is an organization called Worldwide Gems Incorporated, which I was like, Poshmark? We're going to call it Poshmark. Poshmark has, like, they're all over the world. They, like, sell and buy jewelry. It's like a real big pawn shop, I guess. I don't fucking know. They have offices. Like, they have people in business settings wearing pencil skirts and looking official about shit. But apparently they have been infiltrated by some people who are like stealing shit and then like reselling it. Anyway, it sounds very, very interesting. They don't think that the organization itself is criminal. They think that it's just some bad actors have gotten into it. If you're asking yourself at this point, why would you not contact Interpol? You're making some good points. They're an international organization. Why would you not just contact Interpol? The international police. Or the band. And the answer is fuck you for asking. They don't really ever clearly explain. It's like they're aware of it, but it's back burnered, I guess. There's other things happening, like plane hijackings. So they're not on it. Anyway, the thing that happens that triggers Mr. Moto having a heart condition is that he is in his store and he's like, Nancy's like, can we see the rest of the necklace? And he's like, sure. So he goes into his safe and he pulls it out and he's like, this is not the necklace. Apparently somebody came in, like when Nancy and her friends came up to the shop, they saw a Japanese guy running out of the shop and they were like, what the fuck is, and but he gets away before they can like actually like see his license plate or whatever. So when they go inside, they're like, I think the shifty Japanese guy did it, because he replaced the necklace, the original necklace, with like a cheap imitation necklace. And that gives Mr. Moto a heart condition. So he like lays down on the floor. He's like, you know, sweet chariot, swing low. And they have to go put him on a couch and like gently bathe his face with some cold compress and put some nitroglycerin under his tongue. And of course, you know, call the medical people to come undo all the shit they've done. So anyway, while he's recuperating, which I think they send a nurse, and the nurse is like, yeah, you need to, like, let him chill for a while because he's had a shock. Bess is like, oh, I love jewelry. Let me sit at the counter. Like, at all times, people are like, these 18-year-olds seem competent and white, so we're going to let them do what they want. So Bess is behind the counter, and this, I think it was actually, like, a woman comes up, and Bess does not like her, like, describes her in very unflattering terms. I was like, you're getting real gender critical here. Like, mannish. And you're like, fuck you. But anyway, the person who comes in is apparently very confrontational. She's like, I need Miss Rossmeyer's address. I know you have it. And Bess is like, I don't know what you're talking about. And the woman's like, no, I know you have it. Go ask. Where's the guy who owns this shop? And Bess is like, none of your business. But she's getting, like, very nervous that this woman's going to, like, pimp slap her. So she presses the button and takes a picture of her with a security camera. But it's under the desk, so she doesn't know. So she, like, continues berating Bess and, like, eventually gives up. And she's like, you're going to regret this or some bullshit. Anyway, Nancy's, like, off asking questions of people around, being like, did you see a shifty Japanese guy around here? And they're like, yeah, he got into a car. And Nancy's like, perfect. Anything else? And they're like, no. And she's like, still good. Love it. Got some clues. So he no longer has any part of the necklace. The jeweler doesn't. And he's very like, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And Mrs. Rossmeyer, Paris Hilton, is apparently, like, she's a socialite, is the reason why I say Paris Hilton. Like, she's known for, like, having lavish parties and having a lot of jewelry and just traveling a lot and just, like, society, like, moving in society, not actually, like, any sort of work she does. It's just like, and I am jewelry for fun reasons. So, but she's also associated with Worldwide Gems, which I think comes up later. Poshmark. She's doing some sponsored advertising. She's boasting them on our social media. But she doesn't really seem to have that much of a role. It's just like she's associated with them doing branded content. So he's very upset. He can't figure out what to do. Nancy's like, well, we're going to try to help you. We're going to try to figure out what's going on here. They take the picture, as you know they would, to Chief McGinnis, who was like, oh, yes, let me look up this weird-looking lady who is very uncouth in her manners. Like, seriously, if there was a con artist in these books that had just impeccable manners, they'd get away with everything. So that's what you know. Get all your shit monogrammed and also be the height of sophistication. Drink that tea with a pinky up, and they will not know. They will not know. Anyway, so Chief McGinnis is like, ah, yes, this is the wife of Benny the Slippery One Caputi. And you're like, you couldn't come up with a better nickname. The Slippery One. The Eel? Like, I'm just spitballing here. Come on. No, they're like, we're giving nothing here. We're giving you absolutely nothing. We are not lifting any sort of mental energy for this. Anyway, he apparently is a notable jewel thief. And Nancy's like, is he also a pearl enthusiast? And you're like, I know what you're actually asking. And they're like, I mean, he takes whatever he can get. He prefers jewels, but he'll take pearls, or he will take whatever other precious objects are also in the locale. So Nancy's like, okay, good to know for reasons. So do you think she was casing the joint? And they're like, probably. I don't know. Also, Worldwide Gems. So Nancy talks to her dad, and her dad's like, look, if they have infiltrated the group, like, they're not, the group itself has a really good reputation, which is why a con artist or a band of criminals would want to actually get in there. And they're going to not, the organization will not take kindly to somebody questioning whether they've let criminals into their organization. So be careful in all ways. And Nancy's like, of course, that's my middle name, Careful. So, the next day, like, I think they come by the shop and they check on him. The back room is in, like, fucking shambles. Somebody, like, beat the shit out of him. I can't remember. Like, I think somebody beat the shit out of him and he's okay. Like, they just came in and they took everything, actually. Like, I don't... Sometimes the books are internally inconsistent. There's one point in the book where they're like, yeah, some thieves came in and take everything. And you're like, did they? Or did they just take whatever was in the front room? Or I don't... And it's fine. It's fine. Anyway. But Mr. Emoto vanishes. And then somebody else comes in. Like, and again, his store is robbed. Like, extremely robbed. More than just having one pearl necklace taken in multiple attempts. And then, he gets his friend, Mr. Tim, I don't know. Anyway, I don't remember. You need to understand. I'm not going to remember. It's fine. Just play by your favorite Japanese actor. He gets him to come in and take over the shop. At this point is when Nancy's like, maybe I can find clues to the robbery. Which, again, so you're saying that somebody came in and took one pearl, came in, took the rest of the necklace and replaced it with a fake, and then came in later for a third time and robbed the whole place. And you're like, why would you not, other than your tiny little Polaroid, maybe some other security measures? I don't know. Like, practically anything. A witch? Just putting, like, a mannequin of a witch, maybe. Oh, God. Anyway. Just a witch mannequin. Just, that's our store security, is this witch mannequin. No, they do absolutely nothing. And it's also like, I can kind of understand, like, somebody coming in and being like, oh, can I see the pearl necklace? And, like, figuring out how the safe works. But then, like, I don't know. It's so fucking weird. It's like, I gave you all the clues, Mr. Policeman. It's like, I want you to catch me. This is a sexy game for us. And he's like, absolutely not, I'm not engaging with you. Anyway, the other thing that Nancy finds out is that, there's some reason, and I can't remember what, and I wish I could, but it's gone now. It's gone. Nancy, first off, Mr. Moto vanishes. Second, the guy takes over the store. Third, the guy gets the shit beat out of him, actually, after Mr. Moto vanishes. Nancy finds a few clues. One of them is a tire print that has a rising sun image on it. And she's like, this seems like a clue. And they're like, yeah, we don't sell that around here. That's a Japanese tire. And Nancy's like, is it? Yeah. They also find, of course, the basketball playing Japanese person's shoes, but not like basketball shoes, like traditional Japanese shoes that he just left at a crime scene for unspecified reasons. By the end of the book, I can tell you this, we still don't fucking know why he left his shoes there for clue reasons. Again, I gave you all the clues, Mr. Policeman. I want you to find me for weird sexy cult reasons. Yeah. Anyway, so Nancy talks to her dad and she's like, can we go to Japan? And he's like, well, I've got some business things that I need to do in Japan. And you're like, of course you do. You have passed the bar in all locales. There's a lot of different things going on in the world, but you are an expert in all things legal. And why would you not have clients in Japan? Sure, we're going to buy that. There's a... again, as I said earlier, the only people we're going to have in this book are Japanese people and Italian people, other than, of course, Americans. But, like, I think that Carson has a friend who lives in River Heights, and they go talk to him about something. But anyway, he has a brother in Tokyo. Yes? I think. I don't fucking remember, okay? I know that they know some people, and they're like, we're going to go stay with them. Nancy talks to them on the phone, and she's like, hey, do you know anything about, like, is Paris Hilton over there? Also, do you know anything about this Poshmark scandal? Anything like that? And anyway, the person that she talks to on the phone, who is super nice, is like, yeah, we'll totally host you. It's fine. So they fucking go over there. Nancy brings little gifts for cool reasons, and she and her dad go stay with this Japanese couple, who are extremely nice to them, and far more nice than I would have been, because, oh my god, like, immediately, like, people start banging on the door at all hours and being like, what the fuck are you doing? And all this shit. So, as you know, it's a travelogue. It's always going to be a travelogue. So, they go to a pearl cultivating farm. Anyway, yes. So, they've got a bunch of oysters. Nancy finds out about the actual pearl cultivating process, which, like, honestly, there's no difference between a, quote, naturally occurring pearl and a cultured pearl. Like, they insert a nucleus, which is apparently a grain of sand with maybe like a small layer of something around it. Anyway, but the bigger the thing is, the bigger the pearl will be, but it can also kill the oyster, and sometimes oysters reject the nucleus and then they have to just discard them, and it takes like 2 years, etc., etc. The temperature of the water, people don't normally do the looking for naturally occurring ones anymore, which I was like, why the fuck would they? That sounds like such a horrible job, honestly. A horrible, murdery job. He just went to Japan for... It sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it? It does. It does. Anyway, so they go to a farm and learn all about making pearls. There are many different colors and all sorts of things. And Nancy's like, this is delightful and I love it. Her host... The guy, I can't remember what the fuck he does, but the woman is, she was a dancer, and then now she's retired from dancing, and I was like, tell me everything. What kind of dancer were you in Japan? Also, like, right after they arrive, Carson wants to go to the Worldwide Gems / Poshmark, like, headquarters or local, like, branch office or whatever the fuck. I don't understand it. I can't emphasize that enough. I don't understand this, but it's fine. But Carson wants to go meet with him, but also, like, they know about Nancy, and they know that, like, they've recognized her because she's been trying to help out in River Heights. So Nancy decides to go in disguise as a Japanese girl. So her hostess is like, oh my God, let me get you ready. And she puts her in, like, full, like, white pancake makeup with a little rosebud mouth and, like, a little wig. And her little kimono with her little obi sash. And she's just... And whenever her dad sees her, he's like, oh my God, look at you. I look like a little Japanese girl. And Nancy's like, thank you. Also, she darkens her eyebrows. Anyway, she's like, I'm a dancer, so I know these things. And I was like, I, again, have several thousand questions. But anyway. So Nancy goes in character / cosplay as a Japanese girl, which, again, I felt bad about that because anytime Nancy's going in disguise as another nationality, I'm like, I don't like this. I've got bad vibes about this. I mean, like, anyway, she's not spotted. They go talk to somebody there who was like, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have criminals working here. We are good people at Poshmark. And yeah, they basically just shut him down. Carson's like, with the stuff that's going on, like, they can't really say that they don't entirely know what's going on. Like, somebody who is on the inside of this company, like, is helping. I just don't know who or exactly what's going on. They don't really learn that much from it. They do a lot of shit in Japan, though. Like, they go out to the guy has, I think it's, is it the guy's birthday? Or is it the woman's birthday? I think it's the woman's birthday. They tell them about, the Japanese couple tells Nancy and her father about, like, we like green gardens. Like, we like a lot of greenery, but not a lot of flowers. We like flowers from inside the house. And chrysanthemums also. I was like, are we going to talk about white ones or are we not? We're not? Okay, it's fine. All sorts of fun stuff. Nancy and her father are like, do you guys like sit on the floor to eat? And they're like, no, we've got tables. It's fine. We prefer Western style tables. And they're like, oh, thank God. We don't know what we would have done if we would have had to sit on the floor to eat. And I'm like, oh, okay. They also go somewhere where they have a thing that doesn't sound completely like sushi, but sounds sushi-ish. Anyway, then the host is like, we've got a wedding that we have to go to. And Nancy and her dad are like, oh, well, that's great. And they're like, you can come with us. And they're like, can we? Okay. So they go and they can't go to the actual like wedding part where they say their vows and stuff, but they tell them about it. They're like, yeah, they go in this little room and there's a Shinto priest and they have a representation of God there, but it can be just like a picture on the wall or just the word God, a little banner, like, you know, just something in there, just some vibes. And then after, let's see, they have to drink tea 3 times, I think, something like that. Anyway, it's private and they don't exchange rings. And yeah, so Nancy and her dad are like, that's really cool. But they go to the actual like wedding reception afterwards. Nancy had brought, they actually go out and buy some gifts for the couple who they have never met before. And they bring them and they're like, we're going to give this to the bride and we're going to give this to the bride's parents. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Nancy goes in like full ass costume, but not like with her face done. Although they do, the woman who is part of the couple takes Nancy to get her hair done, which Nancy's like, hell yeah, I'm going to get some ringlets. And, they see the bride getting done up and apparently the bride is getting like full white face, pancake makeup, like just all over, like lots of powdering. And then she's like, we pay very close attention to the back of the neck because that is considered like the sexiest place in the body. So it needs to be super white. Nancy was like, okay, okay. So yeah. And like, she puts on the headpiece and they're like, it kind of represents the veil. All sorts of fun stuff. So she gets to learn a lot about like Japanese wedding ceremonies. And I was like, you know that I love whenever Nancy's around wedding things, because I'm like, and gonna have some net adjacent thoughts, gonna be thinking about maybe having her own little wedding ceremony. I don't know. Anyway, so they go to the wedding reception and the people there are like dripping jewelry. Like, oh my God. Nancy's like, I'm loving it. But also like, holy shit, are we high society weddinging? But then like she sees a guy and she's like, it's him, the Italian. And he like walks over to somebody and he takes a fucking necklace off her neck. And I was like, first off, how is he doing this without anybody knowing it? But anyway, so Nancy sees him and she's like, she goes over to him and accuses him. She's like, I saw you take that necklace off that woman's neck. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And Nancy's like, you put it in your pocket. Turn out your fucking pockets, you piece of shit. I'm gonna get a cop involved. And the guy turns out his pockets and it's not there. And Nancy's like, son of a bitch, I don't know what you did, you fucker, but I'm gonna get you. Apparently he had a hole in his pocket and his female conspirator, picked up the pearl necklace afterward, is what Nancy surmises happened, but she doesn't have any proof. But then a bunch of people notice that they have jewelry missing. And Nancy's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, it's clearly that guy. And then the cop comes in and he's like, what's going on here? Like, I need to search you. And he's like, let me search your purse, Nancy, because she accused somebody of stealing jewelry. And they're like, well, let's just search you for other reasons. And she's like, well, I don't have a purse. I just have a comb in like the sleeve of my kimono. And they were like, well, let's search the sleeve of your kimono because you're using that as a purse. And they find a pearl neck, like, I'm sorry, not a pearl, a ruby necklace in there. And he's like, what the fuck? I did not steal a fucking necklace. Oh my God. So the Japanese couple vouches for her and the cop is like, okay, I mean, vibes, but okay. Like, what the this doesn't look good for you. And Nancy's like, I was accusing him of being a jewel thief. It's not me. What the fuck? This is bullshit. So everybody at the wedding is like, this is the worst day ever because all of her jewelry has been stolen. So the other thing that happens, which I thought was hilarious, is that Nancy keeps getting threatening notes that are like 4 + 9 = 13. And I was like, you have a math nerd who is also vaguely threatening, chasing you. It's almost adorable. Nancy's like, I know that 4 + 9 = 13. What the fuck? And so her Japanese hosts are like, oh, well, 4 means like death and 9 is like foreboding and curses. So 13, though, no. Nancy's like, no, that's American. 13 being unlucky, that's American. Also the pearl. Also, they find the wife, not the Japanese couple's wife, the wife of the Italian guy, the one who came in and confronted Bess and made Bess feel all nervous and upset. Which, by the way, it's only Nancy and her father on this trip to Japan. Like, Bess and George are like, no, we're staying home. Bye. Bye. This is going to be a real long flight. We're not here for it. Which, they go on a plane with somebody. Anyway, it's fine. So, yeah, Nancy gets the 4 plus 9 equals 13, like, 3 times. And her hosts are like, we laugh in the face of danger. And Nancy's like, fuck yeah, you do. I love it. I love you guys. You're the best. But it's just weird. It's just fucking weird. Yeah, but the cops pick up the woman. So, Nancy and her dad go to a park for something. I don't remember what the fuck it was. I don't know if it was, like, during the Pearl Farm trip or what. But they're, like, talking to some people. And then, like, this guy, like, comes over and, like, pimp slaps Nancy or something and, like, runs off. Or, like, tries to steal a purse or some shit. But the thing that she notices is that, oh, well, she's, like, chasing after him. And then this security guy stops her and is like, you can't run in here. This is a holy park. And Nancy's like, What? And then she looks at him and she's like, you're not a fucking, this is a fake fucking security outfit. What the fuck? And so, like, an actual security guy comes over at that point. He's like, okay, white people, what's up? And Nancy's like, this is a fake security guard. And he's like, you are correct. That is a fake security guard. And the guy's like, this woman was taking pictures of this guy without his consent. And that's bad. And Nancy's like, he was trying to take pictures of me without my consent, the guy that I was chasing when this asshole pulled me over, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Anyway, I was like, also, just developed the film on her camera, like, she didn't take a picture that she wanted to, because I think it was one of the random Japanese guys that she was like, I haven't identified this person yet. Anyway, I think it was around that time that they picked up the wife of the Italian guy, Benny, the slippery one, who, again, should be Eel. Just say Benny the Eel. It kind of rolls off the tongue. Just go with it. Also, sushi. Anyway, so they pick her up, and Nancy has to come in to ID her. So they put Nancy in this, like, little, they put her in a chair, and then they put, like, a screen around her, and Nancy can see through the screen, but nobody can see out into the screen. Like a two-way glass. And then they have the wife walk through the room so that Nancy can identify her. And so Nancy sees her and she's like, yeah, that bitch. Yeah. But before the woman leaves the room, like, apparently they just told her, oh, we need you to walk through this room to go over to this other place to get your fingerprints taken or some shit. Anyway, she gets suspicious. She goes over to the screen, sees Nancy there, and, like, fucking picks her up by her hair and is like, bitch. I think she calls her, like, a vixen or some shit. Anyway, cat fight. So, like, snatching wigs. Just snatching. Anyway, so, like, the cop comes in. He's like, what the fuck is going on here? And they were like, we are white girls having a fight. Just back off. Wigs are being snatched. It's being bad. Anyway, so Nancy, she's like, I don't even know who the fuck you are. And the cop's like, then why do you have her by the hair? I've got some follow-up questions. What the fuck? Making weird choices, lady. Anyway. So Nancy's like, well, she's in prison, so maybe the Eel won't leave while she's in prison, but, well, jail. And she's being detained. She's being detained. She apparently was traveling on a false passport. Carson's like, I don't know. He might leave her ass. He might. Like, he's a cold one. So Nancy calls the police station to check on something or some shit. She's like, and I'm just making sure she's still there, right? And they're like, oh no, she was released. And Nancy's like, what do you mean she was fucking released? Like, she should not have been fucking released. Let me talk to your supervisor. Well, no, she doesn't. The cop goes to talk to his supervisor. She finds out the name of the person. The cop finds out the name of the person who signed the, like, warrant of release or whatever, and calls that judge. And that judge is like, I didn't fucking sign that paper. And so he's like, this has been forged. What am I going to do? And Nancy was like, you're dealing with criminals who are above your capacity. Maybe contact Interpol or wait for me to give you orders, as you know that you should, because you are in my universe and I control everything. Anyway, so she's been released, and Nancy's like, well, this is fucking bad. Also, somebody, like, climbed a tree next to Nancy's room when she was staying at the Japanese couple's house, and they're like, Nancy. And she's like, the fuck? And so she gets up, and they're like, you need to leave. And then, like, when she looks, she goes over to the window to look out, and the person's running away, and she was like, interesting. The couple's like, yeah, that was fucked up. Somebody, like, looked in our house, figured out which room you were staying in, and then climbed a tree. This is not good. None of this is good. Now, before they'd been like, I laugh in the face of danger. I eat it for breakfast. But now they're like, I don't know. Maybe you do need to get back home where you can, like, I don't know, get your own cops and not have anything weird happen to our house.
So before they leave the wife's birthday, so Nancy and her friends went and Nancy, yeah, anyway, Bess and George gave Nancy money to buy their boyfriend's souvenirs while she was in Japan, because of course they did. So they bought some souvenirs for Japan, but they also brought some like gifts for their hosts. So like Nancy has a really, she has a lace handkerchief that was embroidered by a nun, as you do. And I can't remember what they give the guy. I don't know. A silver thing, maybe? I don't fucking remember. It's fine. Anyway, but they go out for his birthday, and the housekeeper at their house, like, makes her a really fancy flower arrangement, and it's very cute. Anyway, so they go home, and they have been asking, they're like, how is Mr. Moto doing? How's the shop doing? Any clues, anything like that? And, like, not really. They're like, maybe somebody saw Mr. Moto, we're not sure. There's a rumor that Paris Hilton is in Japan, and then they're like, we don't think she is. We think she's already left, and it's just all very strange. And then, like, there's a news story that somebody stole a necklace out of her luggage, and so Nancy's like, what the fuck's going on there? All very strange. All very strange. Like I said, like, I'm pretty sure the jeweler did get at least pimp slapped. I know that the friend that he had to take over his shop got the shit beat out of him. Went to the hospital and then was like, but he'll be okay. And you're like, okay. So I guess it wasn't that bad. I don't know. You don't want him to die, but you're also like, but if you're released later on today under your own recognizance, like, I've got questions. Anyway. So Nancy finds out that Paris Hilton is now in Paris, having a party for her closest 20 friends and like a little Etsy party. Like, they're just having some jewelry and maybe some mimosas, just hanging out, just having fun. But Nancy finally goes and talks to, like, I think that she goes to like a big newspaper near her, and she's like, can you, like, do you have some clips on Paris Hilton? Basically, I just want to know what she looks like. So she finds out what she looks like, and again, like I said, dark wig, but like mid-30s, I think, and she's supposed to be beautiful, I think. Anyway, Ned, of course, has called and been like, when is my girl getting home? For reasons. So they have planned an elaborate dinner party for when Nancy and her father arrive back home, and so Hannah's like, yes, we have several guests coming, and Nancy's like, I know exactly what's going on. So they do a nice fancy dinner party. Nancy gives the souvenirs that they got. They got Hannah actually a pearl necklace and pearl earrings. And Hannah's like, this is the best. And Ned gets a pearl stick pin, which I do love that the book, whenever Ned comes into the narrative, they're like, all of them were Emerson football players, but Ned was the most handsome of all of them. And I'm like, of course he fucking was. Like, in the earlier books, like, Bert and Dave actually get descriptions where it's like, this one has blonde hair and is rangy. This one is a little bit more stocky. At this point, I need you to know that they give so little fucks that it's like, and then there's Bert and Dave. Just imagine them. They're not as hot as Ned. And you're like, no one is. But I love that you are giving absolutely no energy to this. You're just like, they're placeholders. They are like little interchangeable men. You can fantasy cast whoever you want in these roles, because it's fine. It's fine. David Bowie is just popping up as either Bert or Dave, and he doesn't even know. It's a mystery to him as well. Anyway, so they're having their dinner party, and everything's going good, and the girls are like, okay, well, it's time to go. And so their dates escort them home for necking reasons, and then, like, Carson goes to bed, Hannah goes to bed, Nancy and Ned are just hanging out on the couch together, and just, like, Ned's like, you had a lot of exciting adventures in Japan, and she's like, fuck yeah, I did, and Togo's asleep in the kitchen, and things get very quiet in the Drew house for a while, and I was like, y'all totally getting on it, just going right to town in the living room of the Drew house. When all of a sudden somebody smashes on the door with their fist and Nancy and Ned spring up and they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, putting your clothes back on. Just putting your clothes back on at this point. the person yells, like, open this door, I'm going to break it down. And they're like, what the fuck? Get the fuck off this property. And he, like, I think he actually does. Yeah, he does. He busts down the door and, like, sends a German Shepherd into the house to, like, attack Nancy and Ned, who jump behind a couch that's, like, catty-corner with a wall. So, like, it makes a triangle. So Nancy and Ned jump into that part because it's, like, at least something to put between them and the dog. And they're, like, screaming for help. And the person's basically like, stay the fuck out of my business. And they're like, fuck you. And the dog's trying to get under the couch. And it's just real, real bad. Hannah comes in and, like, throws water in the dog's face and, like, smacks him with a wooden spoon, I guess, on the butt. And the person at the door, like, whistles for the dog, and the dog leaves. And they're like, okay, that was fucked up. And, of course, Carson and Hannah are like, why are you two only wearing half your clothes? It's fine. I just want Nancy to have been like, Ned, I attended a wedding in Japan, and it made me think of us. You know, also, there was a lot of discussion of pearls, and I know the trend of that. Anyway. So, Ned fucking nails the front door back on. Like, they managed to get some wood and nail that front door back on. Anyway, the other interesting thing that happens is that Nancy gets a phone call and a person is like, there's going to be a party at Paris Hilton's house. You need to come and say that you are 12 and 13. Bring an escort. Click. And Nancy's like, fuck. So she's like, Ned, there's supposed to be a party. And he's like, it's a trap. And he's like, I don't know about this. And Nancy's like, yeah, it's 100% a trap. I think we should go though. And Ned's like, I'm down for it. I'm ride or die, girl, ride or die. And she's like, I know both of those things. Anyway, so it's supposed to be like the next night, and Nancy's like, is she even in town? Because like, she has basically teleported around the globe for this entire book. It's been real, real weird. Where is her house? Like, they actually have to, I can't remember if the person gives an address or not. Anyway, so they're going to go to Paris Hilton's house for a little party. And Nancy and Ned are like, we're absolutely going to get in it's going to be bad, but we're going in. So after Nancy and Ned have decided they're going to walk straight into this trap that's being set for them, they're like, okay, we're going to need to wear full prom, as one does when one is going into a trap. Are we going to get grimy from climbing through some sketchy windows? Absolutely. But it's fine. So, I can't, like, they do a little bit of recon. They're like, let's find out what she looks like. Let's, you know, are there some pictures? They try to find out where it is. I don't remember how they found out where the fucking house is. I don't think the phone caller gave them the address, but maybe they did. Anyway, so on the night of, like, apparently Carson is like, Nancy, take these with you just in case. And you're like, condoms? No. He gave her a bunch of skeleton keys. Actually, he gave them to Ned. And he was like, Ned, hold on to these. And so Ned, when they're approaching the house, is like, Nancy, I want you to take some of these skeleton keys for reasons. And Nancy's like, oh my gosh, yes. Okay. Here's the thing. Like, in the original Nancy Drew books, Nancy kind of goes back and forth over whether she can pick locks or not, where it's like, you know, do I have the equipment with me? Can I do it? In the file, she fucking leans in and she's got a fucking lock pick kit that her dad's like, you know, you shouldn't be like caught with that, right? But anyway, so it's hilarious to me. And it's also like, okay, so in the 1970s, there were only 6 locks that were allowed by the government. And if you had one of those 6 locks, then you could open any other of the locks that matched your key. But anyway, so they go into the party. There's a bunch of cars parked out there. It's a nice house. They're like, this is giving. It's giving luxury. It's giving wealth. It's also set back from the road like a bunch. So at first when they're behind another car that seems to be going to the party, they're like, are we like, is this going to be like a weird, sketchy, like backwoods shack? No, it just seems like it's kind of a like remote estate. Anyway, so they walk up to the door and Nancy's like, I'm not fucking calling him 13. I feel like that would be a bad thing. I feel like I would be like marking him as somebody to be attacked or something. So when she approaches the door and they're like, who are you? She's like, I am 12 and I have a guest. And they're like, okay, that seems legit. No asking to see if they have an invitation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing like, did you bring some pearls with you? Or do you have the meth? Or how many years have you been bound to the Sea Org? None of that. So they go inside. And they're introduced to a person who seems to be in, like, the position of, like, oh, everybody's looking at her and everybody loves her. Like, the position of prominence, like, she's the hostess. But when Ned's like, Ned looks at her and he's like, I thought she'd be hot. And Nancy's like, yeah, that seems weird. Because the woman who is like, being presented as Miss Rossmeyer / Paris Hilton is not cute. Like, she's just dripping in jewelry, but, like, she ain't giving anything else. And they're like, okay. Oh, I mean, hey, maybe. The other people at the party are acting, like, half of them are acting weird and the other half are acting sketchy. And there's some overlap between those two groups. Nancy goes to, like, powder her nose or some shit, and she walks into a bedroom and there's a woman sitting on the bed, like, rocking back and forth being like, pearls. And Nancy's like, okay, have we stumbled into, like, a zombie movie where they're gonna eat our brains or something? I don't know. Super weird. But the woman's just, like, rocking back and forth, just chanting to herself. And Ned comes in and he's like, what the fucking, we got to get the fuck out of here. And Nancy's like, let's just see what happens. Let's just see what plays out. A lot of the people at the party are wearing a lot of jewelry. A lot of people are wearing pearls. Nancy sees a lot of necklaces like the one Mrs. Rossmeyer gave to Mr. Moto for unclear reasons. Plot reasons. And they're all, like, different shades of pearls, and they're very gorgeous. And Nancy's like, I don't know what's happening here, but I don't like any of it. It's all fucking weird. She sees in a case, she's like, this could be the stolen necklace. She's never seen it. Nancy's never seen the actual necklace in person. She's only seen, like, the fake one that was left in the safe. So she's never seen the real one. She's like, this could be the one, maybe. I don't know. But, like, people are, like, walking around it, like, bowing to it and praying. And then this guy brings out the banner with the oyster and the pearl on it. And Nancy's like, seems like a weird sex cult thing that's about to happen with a lot of weird oral happening. I mean, it's fine. Ned's like, I mean, I'm down for that part, but only with you. We're only doing that together. Like, no one else is involved in this orgy. It's just you and me. Our own private orgy. But then, like, a guy walks up to him and he's like, you need to come with me for, like, he makes it sound like, we want you to see some. Anyway, he makes it sound like it's not a trap. And Nancy and Ned are like, sure, trapper. Anyway, he takes them to a hallway, and then, like, the door locks behind them when they walk into the hallway, and they're like, sure, that's also not at all suspicious, looking at each other like, we're about to get jumped. But then the person, like, proceeds through the door in front of them and closes that and locks that. And so Nancy and Ned are like, fucking hell. They can hear some weird chanting kicking up. They're like, okay, so the fucking weird ritual shit is happening, and I guess they didn't want us there for that. But, of course, they tried all their keys. And, of course, one of the keys works, because, of course, it does. I don't think that anything other, like, weird James Bondy shit happens. Like, there's no, like, gas seeping under the door that's choking them. I think it's just, like, we're just going to lock you in a fucking hallway. Because you are just being an annoyance, teenagers. Anyway, so Nancy and I get back downstairs, and they see that, like, everybody in the weird group has, like, put on hoods, I think, like, hooded robes, and they're, like, walking around chanting, and the necklace is in the case, and Mrs. Rossmeyer, they're like, yes, the pearls. And Nancy's like, okay, they're a pearl cult, which is a thing I heard about in Japan on my recent trip. because she had, the beginning of the book starts with her talking about, like, fucking moon juice, where she, pearl powder for health reasons. I was like, holy shit, she's gotten on the goop. She's Gwyneth Paltrow-ing. Anyway, so Nancy's like, yeah, there's some people here who are probably, like, legit bought into this as, like, a weird, like, you know, Baker colloidal silver shit. Something like that's happening. So then everybody leaves. And Nancy and Ned also leave because they're like, we got to get the cops out here. Like, I think that they try to sneak out, like, during the ceremony. And, like, somebody comes after them, but they run or some shit. Anyway, they get to the cops and they're like, they're all out of breath. There's a weird pearl cult and they're stealing shit because Nancy also sees like jewelry that she's pretty sure was stolen during that Japanese wedding that she attended that was also a thievery haven. She's like, there's some people out there and I'm pretty sure they have stolen jewelry and blah. And I saw the Benny the Slippery one, which again, eel, just call him the eel. Like, I'm giving you this for nothing. Anyway. So the cops are like, fuck yeah, we're going to be right out there. Just go back. So Nancy and Ned go back, and before the cops, like, the cops are, like, on the way, but I guess they have some paperwork to fill out or maybe a judge to consult. I don't know what the fuck. Anyway, Nancy and Ned get back to the house, and there's no one there. Like, and they're like, what the fuck? No one's fucking here. What are the cops going to do? Because, again, it's like somebody got the keys to Mrs. Rossmeyer's house and, like, used it for their weird pearl slash sex culty slash Scientology shit and then, like, left. And so they've got no, like, real proof unless the house was ransacked. So, but they see, like, one last car pulling out and they're like, fuck yeah, we're going to follow them. So they follow them to, of course, a barn because that's where all cult things go down. And barns. And large, elaborate barns. I think. Okay. Anyway, so they like get into the place with the barn and like they overhear some people being like, yeah, we're going to get those teenagers. Yeah. Like they think that Nancy and that are still locked up in the house and they're like, we're going to have to go let them out because we don't want them to starve to death. But like, haha. And like, sure. Because again, I'm like, they're just going to mildly inconvenience them by locking them into a hallway because they are considerate villains. But then somebody comes up and they're like, it's them. Oh my God. I forgot to say, like, when they walk into the party, they're like, oh, what are your names? And Nancy's like, Nandrury. And I'm like, why do you not have a fucking alias just set up ready to roll off your tongue? In the previous book, you were like, my name is Ann Boonton. Everywhere you went. Just use your previous alias. It's fine. They were probably not involved in the crocodile adventure. And then she's like, and this is my escort, Edward Coleman, which I was like, given just his first and middle name. Anyway, so the people at the party spot them and they're like, fuck, they got out of the hallway. And they throw them in the basement of the barn, a thing that exists. I was like, the cellar, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, they're thrown down there and they're like, son of a bitch. I think they actually like stuff them into bags or something. Where are these human sized, are they just like oversized potato sacks? I don't know. Anyway, Nancy and Ned end up in the cellar part and they're like, son of a bitch, how are we going to get out of here? Because apparently the door is like iron barred shut and they're like, well, our skeleton keys are useless. But Mr. Moto's down there and they're like, hey girl, hey, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm absolutely not okay. So while they were in Japan, while Nancy and her dad were in Japan, they kept hearing like, people have spotted Mr. Moto, which apparently it was George. George is the one who spotted Mr. Moto. And she reported it to the police because she is just, you know, like being their little informant all over the place. The cops are like, we don't need to do anything. Y'all got everything handled. We're just here for like moral support and also to bring guns if you are in need of guns and also to take fingerprints. Maybe crime scene photos. We don't know. Anyway, they are the actual crime investigators. So Mr. Moto has been down there in the basement since he vanished, which has been like days. And he's like, yeah, I'm real, real weak. They don't feed me a lot and it's not great. I'm not loving this. And Nancy's like, why did they kidnap you? And he's like, I don't fucking know. I think it was because that dude left his shoes behind and they thought I knew something. And Ned's like, were they Air Jordans? And he's like, absolutely not. They were just big old Japanese sandals. And Ned's like, then I don't know either. I don't know. Was there a secret pet thing in them? Like a little container that they could put notes in? And he's like, no, absolutely not. And Ned's like, okay. So they're just unhinged. Okay, that's fine. But apparently Mr. Moto is the one who called Nancy's house and was like, okay, first off, he managed to, when somebody came downstairs to like give him some food and like glare at him, when that person was distracted tying their shoe, Mr. Moto, who had noted the locations of all phones in the house, there are several phones in this abandoned barn, that are working, found one of these phones, found Nancy's home number, called her and was like, hey, come to the party. Didn't feel like he should introduce himself because there's a lot of different extensions to that phone. He was afraid somebody was going to pick up and hear him. And Nancy's like, of course, all of the things that you're saying are logical and reasonable. I would have done the same. Sure. Would I have escaped? Absolutely not. I would have stayed here for plot reasons. Anyway, so Mr. Moto's like, okay, I think with the three of us together, we can probably break down the door. I've tried, but it's hard. We'll need to get some stuff. So they find some, like, random fencing. There's some random, like, new fencing in the cellar. Posts. And they go and, like, smash it into the door and get out. And they're like, ha-ha! And, shit. The cops have arrived by then. They can hear the cops. They're yelling and nobody's hearing them, so they break down the door. They're police dogs, and I think the actual, like, dog that had attacked Nancy and Ned at Nancy's house. Like, it is chaos. It is chaos in the cult barn. And, so they get out of there, and Nancy's like, the cops are like, cultists! And they're like, no, we were in the basement! Not for weird sex pearl reasons. It's fine. It's Nancy and Ned, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, it's fine, it's fine. It's okay. You're on the do not kill list. It's fine. Who's this guy with you? How are you feeling about him via murder? And they're like, no murder him. No murder him. He's okay. Mr. Moto, like, accuses people who held him captive. They're like, we don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, I was in your fucking basement, you pieces of shit. The cops are like, okay, we got everybody. They round everybody up. And then after they are finished up and like, everything's cool, and Nancy and Ned and their full prom, Dusty, all bedraggled, are looking at each other, and Nancy's like, Ned's like, it's a good thing your dad gave me those keys. And Nancy's like, yeah, he does like to take care of me and make sure that I'm safe. And then she's like, much like you do. And then she's like, to cover for the fact that, like, she's like, he'll be embarrassed after I said that. She's like, oh, well, also blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I've fucking headcanoned it. Since 1959, when the books were revised, when the original books started being revised, I believe that at that point, Carson knew or orchestrated that Ned was there for, like, protecting Nancy. Like, that was his goal. That was what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to be there for, like, bodyguarding. Whenever it looked like shit was about to get real, like, Ned was called in. He is some sort of government agent, or he's been trained or something, or he's an undercover police officer. I don't know. But anyway, I feel like that last part was, like, Nancy looking at him and going, we know what we are to each other. And him going, So, like I said at the end of this, when everything has been restored or whatever the fuck, also when Ned sees a picture of the actual Paris Hilton / Mrs. Rossmeyer, he's like, yeah, she's hot. Like, the imposter, not hot. Not hot. Apparently, the imposter, Mrs. Rossmeyer, was involved in the jewel-stealing cult, of course, and they somehow got involved with the pearl-worshipping cult. Anyway, so they infiltrated the Worldwide Gems / Poshmark scam and, like, were using that as cover for, like, finding out about where gems were, I think. It's all very strange. But anyway, they round everybody up. They're like, yeah, we got all the big people who were involved in it. Yeah. But, yeah, there's some people in there who were, like, legitimately, and they don't really go into a lot of detail about it. I kind of wish they had, like, that maybe all these people were, like, ill in some way and had been convinced, much like the colloidal silver scam, that, like, the pearl worshipping or the pearl ingestion or something would cure them. Something like that, it would give them stock tips. I don't know. But you don't really get a good explanation for it. It's just like, here's some weirdos in a barn. And you're like, again, this book, these books feel that weirdos hang out in barns chanting. So I'm not going to just, again, Nancy became a witch doctor in that one. Like, I'm a witch now. And everyone's like, I mean, we've known that the whole time. A complimentary. Yeah. So at the end of it, of course, Nancy's like, what will my future bring me? And then she's like, little did she know, the triple hoax. So that's the one that I'll check out if I've got it. I mean, that one's going to be easy for me to track down, actually. It's because it's the first of the digests. There's a lot of them out there. Yeah, so, shit, looking back, I find it really interesting that in this book, first off, like, the plot is incoherent. You,
you've sensed that from the fact that everything that happens is kind of like, why did this happen? For plot reasons. Why did this happen? For plot reasons. Like, there's that whole weird subplot where Nancy's on the beach and she saves a little girl, and then the person in charge of the daycare is like, oh, well, I have this treasure map. And then Nancy digs up the treasure, but it's like just all like a couple of random Spanish doubloons. And that goes nowhere. That goes absolutely nowhere. And yeah, like, it's, yeah, it's so strange. I would have loved if at the end of this, like, Nancy and Ned have looked at each other and gone, Nancy, go, well, I was just at a wedding, and I thought of you and our future. And Ned go, me too. I've been thinking about our future for a long time. But I do love the whole, like, if he has been hired to be her bodyguard, like, he cannot indulge in these feelings. He must remain impassive and not be moved by the fact that he's clearly in love with her. Because that explains a fucking lot, as far as I'm concerned. If you're like, I don't feel that, you cannot feel that. That is okay. I don't know. Like, the last books, we have a lot of really interesting stuff that I think could have, if they developed it in a different way, could have been really cool. And then we've got stuff that's just absolutely bonkers. Like, I do love that this book has an illustration of Nancy being, her wig being snatched by that woman in Japan. Oh, God. You little vixen. Sure, hon, sure. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know. There's so much. There's just so fucking much. And it's just all very, this is why it's actually hard to write a good Nancy Drew story, is because, like, she just keeps being handed clues. It's like she just kind of wanders around, and anything that she finds is either going to be a clue, or somebody's going to walk up to her and be like, you look like a nice girl. Did you know that there was a guy here last week wearing a red hat? And her go, fuck yeah. So it's, yeah. A lot of coincidence. It's fine. Lots of skeleton keys. Lots of skeleton keys. Okay. This was a good exercise, I do feel. I think it's interesting to see her development over time and see how she changed from the beginning. And I do wish there'd been more callbacks. I wish that there'd been some more, like, let's kind of go back. But that's not the kind of series this is, and that's not the kind of thing that they normally do. It's very interesting if you look at, like, book 100 of each series, which I might, actually. I've got book 100 of the files, of course. They do, like, a callback to the first book, but it's in terms of thematic, it's not in terms of character development, because it can't be. She can't develop. She respawns at the beginning of each book, like, brand new, like a baby fawn, just glistening and happy and knowing nothing. So, it's just, that's just not the way these things are set up. So, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But she investigates a pearl cult for that last one, and I don't think she ever actually ends up with any pearls. She's not getting the swag that she once did. Not the goodie bags. She's not getting the little souvenirs that she once did. That's fine. Next time, Something to Hide. The Halloween book / people are spiking face cream, and it's weird and poisonous and still weird. And also, this is, the next one is one of the first books that I was like, oh, people actually do apparently have interesting Halloween things that they do. Oh, God. Anyway, so again, I'll be like, maybe I should re-release it for Halloween, but because we're going in fucking order, and that means that I'm probably going to hit, like, the Summer of Love trilogy in the depths of winter, which, ugh. I'm going to read it again because I love y'all, but The Passport to Romance, I'm going to summarize in one episode and stab everything near me with a very sharp knife afterward, because fuck Goblin. Oh, fuck Goblin. Oh, I hate him so much. Anyway. Yeah, so we're back to the files next time. I'm excited. We're all excited. It's going to be fun for all of us. So, until next time, stay sleuthy, my friends.